Amen. All right, I appreciate that. And as we get started tonight, I think about faith promise, and it's self-explanatory, but yet sometimes we run over the concept. And as we think about faith promise, of course, everybody's aware that we are saved by grace through faith. Faith is essential to the Christian life in which we are to live. And of course, it's necessary. We cannot be saved without faith. I read in Romans over there, anything that's not of faith is sin. And of course, as we start talking about faith and we recognize that faith is a requirement for salvation, I'll say this, faith is also a product of salvation. When you have faith and you believe unto salvation, and God begins to work with you, and He begins to prove Himself to you, He will give you more faith to step out on more faith, until we, as long as we live in, He is wanting to work with us. That's the whole point of Romans 8:28-29. What does it say over there? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, according to whose purpose? His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, them did He predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. It is a lifelong process. He's still working on me, Brother Bill. I'm not going to hit you tonight, brother. That's inside joke. Chloe thought I was going to hit Brother Bill last night, so I'm just going to let him know I'm not going to hit him. He's got faith and I'm not going to hit him, so he sat back on the front row. Amen. I told you you'll gain faith, but when you think about God working in our lives, He is wanting to increase our faith. He is wanting less of us and more of Him. Amen. John said over there that I must decrease and He must increase. As He increases in our lives, the evidence is shown by faith. Faith, 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 faith. We're to walk by faith and not by sight. So as we walk along in this journey of life, Brother Greg, we are hopefully growing in faith. We are hopefully moving closer to the Lord. We are getting all of these lessons that are teaching us over and over again that we can trust Him. Amen. Growing in faith. Amen. Growing in faith. Well, I'm glad I can count on Him, because I sure can't count on me a lot of times. Amen. Oh, listen, we're all in this flesh and we can't trust our flesh. I don't care who anybody is and what you think you are. I talk to our young people at church and a lot of times they say, well, the preacher don't trust me. That's exactly right. I don't. Flesh is flesh. I don't trust my flesh, and I especially don't trust teenage flesh. Amen. Amen. And it would do parents really well to understand that flesh is flesh, and it'd save a whole lot of problems and a whole lot of trouble in the courtship stages. Amen. That's a whole nother message. I'm not even going to preach there. But faith. By faith, I promise to give X amount to missions. Why does that require faith? Well, what if you don't feel like you've got it to give? Can I remind you, He owns it all. Amen. Amen. He owns it all. He owns it all. We're heirs and joint heirs. I understand all of that. We have access to all things that the Son has access to. But it's going to come by faith, and it's going to come by His plan. And He's wanting to grow us to see, and I've said it before, this money is just a tool that God uses for us to show that we are trusting Him, that we have faith in Him, that He is going to grow us, He's going to take care of us. This whole walk of life has got to be a walk of faith. But these verses that I read in Proverbs 11, there is that scattereth. I wish I had a bucket of seed. Boy, I'd really make a mess. There is that scattereth. That's a pushing away. That's a sending out. But then look at what it says. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. How could that be? If you're getting rid of something, how are you increasing? There is that withholdeth more than is meet. And that word means fit or suitable or proper, or there is that withholdeth more than you should. But it tendeth to poverty. Gimme. Our society has been taught to get everything you can and can everything you get. Amen. It's all coming in. It's all coming in. But you know what He's saying? He's saying if we're withholding more than we should or more than is suitable, it will lead to poverty. God has never honored selfishness. You can look at the nature of God and you can see that He's not a selfish God. If He was a selfish God, He would have never sent His Son to die for a bunch of outfits like us. Give me an amen right there. Amen. He loved us, and He had this plan before the foundation of the world that He was going to send His Son, because He knew without the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we did not stand a chance. I'm trying to get worked in. You pray for me. And in verse 25 says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. The liberal soul shall be made fat. If we give, if we scatter the blessings. Now listen, you can go back through the Old Testament and you can see that when the fat was put on the altar, man, that was giving the good stuff to God. The liberal soul shall be made fat. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Now, I'm not going to take a lot of time right here, but a couple years ago, we had a drought, a real bad drought. And I'd never really paid attention to what a desperate need we have for water. You know, the human body can go for so much time without food. Right. But Brother Jay, we're not going to last very long without water. Right. It is a necessity. And if we give out that which is necessary, we're going to receive that which is necessary. Right. All right, now, I want to go back over to Luke chapter number 6, and I'll probably cover a little more stuff here, but I've got to give you this verse because it goes against everything that we have been taught in our society and everything that we think of when we think about being ambitious and we think about accumulating. And I think you've already figured out that I'm not against us having stuff and being blessed. God's not against us having stuff and being blessed. God's not against us having things, but God is against things having us. Amen. What we need to do is keep our priorities right. We need to keep in perspective where the blessings come from. We need to lift up our eyes, as they were singing a while ago. We need to recognize where the blessings come from. He said in James chapter number 1, I believe it's verse number 17, that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of light, in whom there is neither variableness nor shadow of turning. Anything you've got that's good, God gave it to you. He wants to bless us. He wants to bless us. You say, well, I'm going to give the faith promise and I'm going to play the lottery. Brother Wynn will church you. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Now, I don't know. I think the new term is karma. Okay, maybe it's old. I'm out of the loop. I seen the bumper sticker said, my karma run over my dogma. So I don't really understand all of that. But I will tell you this. Whatever you reap is what you're going to sow. We talked about that last night. The law of sowing and reaping. And the Bible says give. Jesus Christ himself said give, and it shall be given unto you good measure. However you measure it out, it's going to be given to you. What did we say last night? If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow abundantly, you're going to reap abundantly. Now that was the Apostle Paul talking, and we know that those scriptures are inspired by the Holy Ghost of God, but here we have the Son of God himself speaking and saying, give, and it shall be given unto you good measure. Amen. Press down. If we could teach our kids at the house that when they put the little orange juice cartons and the milk jugs and all of that stuff in the trash can, if they'd mash it down a little, you can get a whole lot more in it because they ain't going to take it out nohow. And you get a whole lot more in it and Dad don't have to take it out near so much. Good measure. Press down. Shaken together. Everything settling so you can put some more in it. Press down and shaken together. And then when you've done all that, he said, then it'll run over. Oh my. Can I tell you, he's a God that'll give. He's a God that wants to give, that wants to bless us. And I'm not preaching health, wealth, and prosperity. Amen. Don't you look at me like I'm Joel Osteen. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Oh my, I'm telling you. That'd make a Presbyterian shout. Let me tell you. God's wanting to bless you. God's wanting to be good to us. He said, a good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. Can I tell you, God's going to meet your needs, even if he has to use an old wicked world to do it. Hey, I'm telling you, they'll give to us. Let me tell you. And a lot of you have heard this probably. And if you have, you just laugh like you've never heard it. And it's real fresh. How many of you heard about the old woman? She'd get down in the living room and she'd just pray. And she'd pray. And every time she had a need, she'd pray. And she was a little old widow woman. She didn't have anything, Sister Betty. And boy, she'd get in there and pray, and them old boys there, they was full of meanness there in the community, and they'd go by her house and they'd hear her in there praying. And they went by one day and she was saying, oh God, I need a loaf of bread. God, I just need a loaf of bread. Them old boys decided they was gonna be real sneaking, and they went to the store and got a loaf of bread, and they got up on the roof and they got up by the chimney right there, and they dropped that loaf of bread down there, and it come down, Brother John, and it hit right there in the firebox. And that woman turned around, she got up off her knees, and she went over there and looked, and she said,
Woo! Glory! Thank you, Lord. God, thank you for the loaf of bread that I was asking for. Them boys got to snicker and they went and knocked on the door. And they said, you old crazy old woman, said, don't you know that God didn't send you that loaf of bread? Said, me and this boy here, we heard you praying for it and we threw it down the chimney. She said, I don't care how it come. She said, God give me a loaf of bread even if she did send it by the devil. Hey, can you. God's going to supply our needs. God's going to give us everything we need. Woo! I'm telling you, he said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Oh, when you think about good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. I'm telling you, I'm all for the blessings of God. Amen. Woo! Hey, we serve a God's not forgetting about us. We serve a God not going to let us do without the things we need. Amen. Now I'm just going to go ahead and be real honest. We've got everything we need. You've got everything. Don't come singing me your sad songs. We've got everything we need and a whole lot of the junk we want. You just, well, amen, because I'm telling the truth. Amen. But God's blessed us. And God's not against us having stuff that we can enjoy. Amen. I said last night, God forbid that I should spend more money on deer hunting than I do on mission. But I believe it's all right for me to go deer hunting. Amen. And Brother Finley's going to tie me up a big buck over yonder not too far from my house so I can just go shoot it. Amen. And if you're here tonight and you're from PETA, fooey on you. That didn't cost nothing, brother. Amen. Well, let me just get into the message. That's all introduction, by the way, so just hold on to your hat and put your feet on the floor, and maybe God will help us tonight. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, if you'd turn over there, please, I want to give you just a little outline over here. I want to show you. We talked last night out of 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 and gave you a few for instances there, but I want us to back up to chapter number 8 tonight, and if God will help me, I want to talk to us tonight about faith, promise, giving. Faith, promise, giving. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. I'll wait till I hear all the pages quit turning because I want you to see this with me, and I want you to keep your Bibles open tonight if you will as we try to preach to you and show you some examples in the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and beginning in verse number 1. The Word of God says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. There we go. Want us to be liberals again. Verse number 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Now let me just stop right there just for time's sake. And I want us to begin looking at these verses. The Bible says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. Now I want to remind you, that word wit, it's just short for witness. He says, I want you to see this. I want you to witness it. I want you to pay attention and see what is taking place right here. He said, we do you to wit of the grace of God. I want you to witness the grace of God. He said, I want you to see it just like the churches of Macedonia have seen it. That's the churches of Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea. When he says the churches of Macedonia, we are seeing here a church that is wanting to give to missions. I told Brother Dale last night, I believe it was after church, you know, I've been to a lot of meetings here. And over the last years, I've preached here quite a few times. And I don't have to worry about what I preach when I come here. If it comes out of that Bible, I can preach it here and everybody's okay with it. That's not an accident.
That is not an accident. These other brothers, when you go into a church and you step in the pulpit and you begin to preach and you begin to preach the Word of God just like it is, you can find out real fast, Brother Greg, if those people have been being preached to. Amen. But can I say, when we come to a place that we've got a strong church where you can come in and preach, it is because of the grace of God. It is because, listen, God's blessed you to come to a place where you can be fed. I understand that Brother Wynn's not going to tiptoe through the tulips all the time and scratch your back and tickle your ears and make you feel real good about yourself. After all, this is not James Dobson's self-help class. But you know, when a man of God loves you enough that he'll preach you that Bible just like it is. Hey, he does. He loves you and he wants to help you. I promise you this. Any of these men here, we're not just ignorant in everything. We know that we could smooth things over and probably have a bigger congregation. We could be a little more politically correct and everybody would love us. Well, I don't know about everybody. But can I tell you, churches where you can go in, Brother Rob, and preach the Word of God and preach it with liberty, and you can tell that people are with you and they appreciate it and they love the Word of God. Listen, they're few and far between, but it all come because that there was a man of God that had enough about him to say, look, we need to start looking into this thing of missions. And then as the years have come down, God sent you a man that's been a missionary and understands missions and has encouraged you to be partakers in missions and givers of missions. And he said right there, I want you to witness the grace of God that's bestowed upon a church that will give to missions. And look at what he says. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. I want to say first of all that the churches of Macedonia is the ones we're talking about. They gave out of their poverty. Verse 2 says, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Can I say they gave out of their poverty? The Bible said they were in a great trial of affliction. And out of their joy from being saved and the deep poverty that they were in, but all of that abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Can I say that the economy was not good in that day? And that's all I hear about now is the economy this and the economy that. And I tell you the honest truth, Brother Melvin, I wish gas wasn't $4 a gallon. That'd suit me just fine. I wish everybody had all the jobs they want and all of those things. Hey, listen, I'm not saying that I love a bad economy, but I am telling you tonight that even when the economy is bad, God's still on the throne. Amen. Amen. And I see that they gave out of their poverty. You say, preacher, if they were in such poverty, how did they give? Well, that's a good question. And that's what I want us to look at. They gave out of their poverty. I want to talk to you just a few minutes here about somebody that gave when they didn't really have to give. If you'll look at 1 Kings chapter number 17, I want to show you something that has been such a blessing to me. When I read this one little phrase and God opened it all up to me and God showed me some things that have been such a help to me, and I hope it'll be a help to you. While you're turning there, I'm going to say, As we get the account here of Elijah, the prophet Elijah, and of course God, as he was on the run, God said, I want you to go down by the brook Cherith, and I want you to get down there
by the brook Cherith, which is before Jordan. He said, the ravens are going to come and feed you there. He said, I've got some water running through that brook, and you're going to be able to drink of the brook. He said, I want you to go down there. And the Bible said the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. But then verse 7 says, it came to pass after a while the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. He called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal and a barrel and a little oil and a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. And I want you to look at this. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Now, first of all, I want you to see here that his obedience brought him to a place where God would sustain him and she would be blessed. She said, I don't have a cake. All I've got is a little handful of meal in a barrel and a little bit of oil. My thinking is that she probably was going to be able to make just a real small cake for her and this boy. And it says they were going to eat it, and then they were going to die. They were going to starve to death. You know the story. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. You go and you make a cake. But make me thereof a little cake first. God already had it in his mind and put it in his man's mind that he was going to make the provision that this woman needed. Remember, she was going to just make one cake and her and the boy was going to die. But he said, you go and do what you said you're going to do, but make me a cake first. There's two cakes. But make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Now I'm just going to say this. I said last night talking about taking care of the man of God. And I don't want you to think that, first of all, Brother Wynn doesn't, I don't know what Brother Wynn makes, it's none of my business. He's not said one word to me. As far as I know, everybody's good. Hey, listen, you'll never go wrong taking care of God's man, because you've got God's man, you don't have a hireling. Amen. 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 Brother Rob, can I just tell you just right what happened down there at Midway? Brother Rob and Sister Lynette used to come to church with us till Brother Wynn come and stole them from me. Brother Rob, here back in April, the men come of the church came and they said, preacher, said your old van's got a lot of miles on it, hadn't it? I said, yeah. So we've been thinking about getting a new one. Brother Dalton, them boys said, preacher, go pick you one out and we're going to buy it for you. Can I tell you what a blessing that was to me? It's sitting right out here. You can go out there and look at it. I'm proud of it. Amen. I understand pride's a bad thing, but I'm going to tell you, God's been good to me and my family, and God's blessed our church. And can I tell you, they took good care of us, and God's still a blessing. God's still letting us help some other people. But he said over there, he said, make me a little cake first. Take care of the man of God first. What do you think she did? Let's just read. But make me thereof a little cake first, bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Now listen to this. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Verse number 15 said, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Can I tell you, she gave out of her poverty. She didn't have it to give, but she wanted to be a blessing to the man of God. And she listened to what God said, and she made him a cake first. And can I tell you, not only her, but the boy, and the Bible says many in her house did eat many days. You know the story. Every time she went and dipped her hand down in the barrel, there was meal there. And she went and she'd pour the cruse over, and all came out. Can I tell you, God was able to sustain because of her obedience. Amen. And she gave out of her poverty. Brother Nathan, she didn't have it to give, but she believed God for it. That's what faith promise is. Amen. I know there's not probably not many of us in here that are just rolling in the bucks. Rolling in the dollars. Got it to throw away, you know, lighting them big round cigars with and all that kind of stuff. But God said, I'll bless you. If you'll just be obedient and you'll scatter, I'll increase you. That's what he did to that woman. That's what he did for the son. And it doesn't stop there. I don't have time. This is just my first point. So I've got a lot of preaching to do tonight. Everybody awake? Amen. If you start going to sleep, I'll get you to stand up. I'm standing up. Everybody else can too if it'll keep you awake. But I've got to preach. But anyway, it didn't stop right there, Brother Greg. I read on over there. Wasn't very much later, Brother Wynn, that the boy, he just fell out. I want to show you something. I'm trying to hurry. It's y'all's fault. Y'all praying. I got too much liberty. Bible said in verse 17, it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? You know what? She had faith. But when something bad happened, she had a little lapse of faith. God, I've been good to you. I was good to you, man. I tried to be obedient to you. Now here you are. You've took my son. But read on. He said unto her, give me thy son. He took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. He cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slander, son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. First of all, listen, it'll pay benefits on down the road. It'll pay off for your family if you'll be obedient to God. And then just to make this point short, I'll tell you something else I see right here. It'll bring revival to your church. It'll bring revival to your house. It'll bring revival to your soul if you just step out on faith and do what God asked you to do. Every time I see that word revive or revive, boy, there's something stirs up in me. And I'm going to tell you, God's able to take them old dry bones and let them come together. And oh, he can breathe on them. He can make them live. Can I tell you, every once in a while, we just need to check our faith. We need to see if we're being obedient to God. How much are we walking by faith? And if we'll get in the prayer closet and listen to God and commune with him just a little bit, and we'll be obedient, I believe there'll be a wind of revival come through and stir in our soul, all because we're showing God that we've got some faith and we know that he's on the throne and he will never lead us wrong. All right. 2 Corinthians. Let me give you my second point. I can done see I ain't going to be able to get all of this preached, but I think you'll get the point. Number one, they gave out of their poverty. Then verse number three, it says, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves." Number one, they gave out of their poverty. Number two, they were willing to give beyond their power. It says, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves." They were willing to give beyond their power. When I think about somebody that's willing to give beyond their power, I think not only about Elijah. I think about Hannah, a woman by the name of Hannah over in the book of 1 Samuel, over there in chapter number 1. Brother Greg, you know, she was barren and she couldn't have any youngins, and her adversary Peninnah over there, remember, that was Elkanah's other wife, and she had youngins, and the Bible said that Hannah had none. Oh, and there was a sore spot there, and there was agitation there, and she desired children, and she wanted a youngin so bad, and she'd go to the temple and she'd pray. You remember how it was? She was even on the altar praying, and who was it? Eli come and said, "Woman, why don't you get off that wine? You're drunk." She said, "I ain't drunk, I'm a praying." Oh, I'm going to tell you, she wanted a youngin, and she was willing to get a hold of God to have one. But it doesn't just stop right there. Right. She wanted that youngin bad. And that was something she desired in her heart. Right. But I want you to look in 1 Samuel chapter number 1. I promise you, I'm going to try to preach fast. I don't ever do that, but I'll try to. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. In verse number 10, the Bible said she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And then verse number 11 said, and she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child." Listen. "If you'll give me a little boy, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." She said, "You know what, God, I want a young and awful bad, but if you'll give me a man child, I'll give him back to you. He won't be mine, but I'll turn him back over to you. As much as I want one and as much as I'd love to have one, if you'll give it to me, I'll give him back to you. I'll make a Nazarite out of him. He'll be a holy vessel for you. I'm telling you, he'll be set apart and sanctified." She was willing to give beyond her power. See, that's the thing of faith promise. How much can I trust God to give through me? Said last night, a lot of times he'll give us things to give away that he won't give us to keep for ourselves. And she was willing to give beyond her power. Turn over chapter number 2, just for the sake of time. Let's hurry. She had the child. His name was Samuel. She weaned him, took him to the house of God, and he ministered there under Eli. The Bible said in chapter number 2, verse number 18, "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year. When she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice," can I say she didn't forget about him? She still wanted that youngin, but God gave it to her. And then she said, "God, I'm going to honor my vow and I'm going to give him back to you." And every year she made him a little coat. When she went to the house of God, she'd take that youngin' a little old coat. And she loved that youngin', but she was willing to give it to God because God loved her enough to bless her with it. But then look in verse number 20. "And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, 'The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Do you see? Brother Melvin, she was barren. She couldn't have a child. But she said, God, if you'll give me a man child, I'll give him back to you. And she did that very thing after he did that very thing. And the Bible said, not only did he give back to her, but he multiplied. He didn't give her 1. He didn't give her 2. He didn't give her 3. He didn't give her 4. But he gave her 5 children. 5 being the number of grace. Can I tell you, God looked upon Hannah and he gave her all grace and he multiplied it to her, all because she loved him enough. She said, I'll give beyond my power. I'll give what I really don't have to give. And she said, I'm trusting you to give me so that I can give to you. And then she got the blessing. Amen. 5, the number of grace. That takes me back to verse number 8 of chapter 9, what we talked about last night. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Well, they gave out of their poverty. Let's go back to our text, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. They gave out of their poverty. Then they were willing to give beyond their power. And then number 4, verse number 4, the Bible said, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. First of all, they gave out of their power. Then they were willing, or out of their poverty, I'm sorry. Then they were willing to give beyond their power. But in verse number 4, praying us with much entreaty. This is Paul saying that they were asking us, would we take some money so that we could stay on the field and preach to these heathen folks? Can I tell you, not only did they give out of their poverty, not only were they willing to give above and beyond their own power, but they gave as partners. I've thought about several times. And you know, I know every pastor has the way that they do their missions program. And there's been times I'd pray for a missionary in a certain part of the world. Say, God, would you give us... I'm thinking about Brother Samuel Kabiru over in Kenya. He's one of them. Brother Philip Gaddis in Australia. And I got to praying and God put that on my heart. And I got to looking for them. Amen. I got to hunting them up. Amen. I'd call them on the phone. I told Brother Philip Gaddis, I said, Brother, you don't know me. I said, this is Brother Greg Thompson. I'm way up in northeast Tennessee. I said, God's had it on my heart that we need a missionary in Australia. I said, I want you to come and talk to us about what you're doing. You mean you're calling me? I've done figured this thing out, brother. Missionaries call and they call and they call and they call and hope to get a meeting someday. And they call. And a lot of times preachers won't even talk to them. Brother, you were the same way. You called me and you said, boy, I appreciate you calling me back. I don't believe no pastor's ever called you back before. They gave us partners. I said, Brother Philip, I believe we need to take you on. He said, you ain't even heard me preach. I said, that's all right. God said it was okay. I said, Brother, we got some missions money we got to spend. We want to get it out there. Right. I'm going to tell you again, all of this money that these churches are racking up in... some of them ain't going to like this preacher, but I'm going to say it anyhow. I'm good at keeping a church broke. Amen. Come business meeting, we're liable to clean out the treasury and help some people, help our missionaries. What? Now listen, I understand we got to have money to pay the light bill and all that stuff. I'm not talking about being reckless. But I am saying this,
I do not believe it honors God to rack up a bunch of money in the bank. I hear preachers a lot of times, oh, they've got this account and that account, and they're just running off of the interest, and they've got all of this money banked up, $150, $250, $300, $500,000. Boy, ain't we doing something. I'll remind you, listen, when the church is raptured out and the Antichrist is on the scene, he's going to take all of that money and he's going to use it to kill 2/3 of the Jews and to accomplish all of these purposes that the Bible says he's going to accomplish. And what profit has it been is what I'm saying. Amen. God gives us that to be a help, to be a blessing, so folks can go all over the world and preach the gospel and tell them about the Lord Jesus. Well, I was going to talk to you about being partners. I believe I'll just talk about that a minute. Over in John chapter number 6, why don't you turn over there? Please. Didn't mean to sound so bossy. Would you please turn to John chapter number 6? John chapter number 6. And I'm going to give you a real quick account right here. I don't want to worry you, and you've been real patient and real kind and real sweet and listened to me a whole lot the last two nights. And I want to try to give you these points and we'll go to the house. But in John chapter number 6, verse number 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now I want you to listen real close to verse number 6. And this he said to prove him. For he himself knew what he would do. Can I tell you, Jesus already had a plan. He already had a plan in motion. He already knew what he was going to do. And I'm going to read it to you, but he already had a little old boy over there prepared. He already had a little old boy had his dinner bucket. And he sent him up on that hillside, Brother Dwight. He had it in motion. He already knew what he was going to do. Amen. He knew how he was going to accomplish his purpose. But Philip, one of the disciples, he already knew what he was going to do, but he wanted Philip to be proved. He wanted Philip to understand. Experiment, Brother Jason. Right. He wanted him to see that he could take care of this thing. Amen. All right, let me read on. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Verse number 7, Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And let me say, they had 200 penny worth probably in the bag. Judas probably had that in the bag. He said, Lord, what little bit we've got, it's not going to be a drop in the bucket what we really need. Give me a Baptist amen right there. Oh, a lot of times, well, we say, well, my little old bit of faith promise is not going to do very much. It's not going to be a whole lot for somebody that's got to get on a plane and somebody that's got to fly halfway around the world and somebody that's got to go to New York City and pay all them big high Yankee prices and all of that kind of stuff. Hey, but I'm telling you, God said, I've already got a plan. There's going to be some folks over there in Boone, North Carolina. I've already got my plan in motion. And somebody is going to be taking care of the need that you're going to have. Can I say tonight, God knows what he's doing. God's got a plan. We don't have enough to take care of it all. But if we are willing to give out of our poverty and willing to give beyond our power, he will give the increase and he will accomplish his purpose. Well, Bible says there in verse number 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down.
Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. By the way, that's 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. Do you see here? Jesus had them to set down. He took the loaves. But how did he get them? When it says he took the loaves, do you think he went to that little old boy and took his dinner bucket away from him? He already knew what he was going to do. He already had that little old boy prepared. And I believe the good God of heaven gave that little old young man enough discernment. Now this ain't in the Bible, but I believe it'd work. God give that young man enough discernment, Brother Jason. And I believe he saw the need. And he went maybe either to Jesus, or I guess maybe to the disciples, and said, I don't have much, but I know you can do a whole lot with it. I'd sure like to be a partner in this thing. And I believe he gave Jesus them loaves and fishes. And the Bible said Jesus took and blessed them, and he broke them. And he fed everybody there. Now, before I get too far away, I want to tell you this. This account is given in Matthew 14. It's given in Mark chapter number 6, I believe. Luke chapter number 9 and John chapter number 6. In every one of the other Gospels, preacher, you've probably noticed this, but I got to looking at this and it just blew my mind. Nowhere in those other Gospels does it say anything about a little old boy. Now, if you'll take into, bear with me, if you'll take into account, Brother Bill, the Gospel of Matthew portrays the Lord Jesus Christ as a king. In the book of Mark, he's portrayed as a servant. In the book of Luke, as the Son of Man. But in the book of John, he is portrayed as God in the flesh. I said, there's something to that. I believe God put that little old boy in there for faith promise. I really believe he did. Because, see, there's no other place in those other three Gospels where that we read, if you'll read on over just a little bit after, where that Jesus took and he blessed the loaves and the fish and he fed all of them and then they took up 12 baskets of fragments remaining and all that stuff. But then, of course, they go out on the ocean or the sea and they get into a storm and Jesus has to deliver them. But then the next day, Jesus comes with the discourse of the bread of life. That's not in any of the other Gospels. It portrays him as God in the flesh, as the Son of God. And it begins over there and he starts talking, I am the bread of life. Oh, when you look at verse number, I believe it's verse number 35. Said Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Oh, he gets to talking about the bread. He is the bread of life. He is what will feed folks. He said if you'll partake of this bread of life, you will live. He talked about the fathers having manna in the wilderness and they're dead, but he said, if you'll take of this bread, you'll live forever. And of course, we get verse number 37, one of the greatest verses that we have to show that Jesus won't turn anybody away. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Then we see in verse number 44, a great verse that a lot of the big soul-winning crowds forgotten about. It says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me. Draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. That tells us the Holy Spirit of God has to draw somebody before they can ever be saved. Brother Finley, I believe that little old boy is only in John's account. Because he's showing that he wanted to be a partner. And he was being a blessing to a lot of people so that Jesus could show himself as the bread of life. Amen. Boy, that helped me when I got hold of that. Boy, that did me good. But let me just say this, and you've heard it. John 6 and verse number 12, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And you've heard it said, I've heard it said, who do you think got the baskets that were left over? And of course they say, the little boy. I don't know where that came from. But it could be so. But I'll tell you what, out of 12 baskets of stuff that was left over, not only could all of the disciples have a little bit of it, not only could the little boy have a whole lot more than what he started with, I believe if he got some of it, he could have still got a whole bunch of it and took it back to the house, and some other people could have been blessed right there. All I'm saying is this, I don't know who gets it all, I don't know how it's all divided up, but I know that everybody involved got exactly what they needed, all because God had a plan. He knew what he was going to do. He had it purposed in his heart. He had a plan that he was going to see come to pass, and he knew how to do it. Amen. All because that little old boy said, you know, I'd just like to be a partner in this thing. Amen. Amen. All right, well, I'm trying to get done. Preacher, can I have one more hour? Okay. He said I could. Well, they ain't even thrown nothing at you yet, brother. I'm telling you, we're doing all right. Amen. All right. They gave out of their poverty. They were willing to give beyond their power. They gave as partners. But in verse number 5, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. They gave out of their poverty. They were willing to give beyond their power. They gave as partners. But in verse number 5, they gave their person. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. If you can trust God with your eternal soul, don't you really believe you can trust Him with your pocketbook? Amen. Amen. When you think about... Listen, I don't understand what the big draw of money is. I don't understand why it's such a corrupting thing. I don't understand why it is that we all look for it and want it. And here again, it's a means, it's a tool. But the fact of the matter is this. When God gets a hold of us, and we give of ourselves, we're given everything that has to do with ourselves. I saw Brother Stennett Blue one time, and I wouldn't dare stand in your offering plate. But he put that offering plate on the floor. And he said, if I was to stand in that offering plate and say, Lord, here I am. All of me. I'm giving all of me. I'm giving my person, my being to you. You do with it as you'd see fit. Does that make you think of anything? We're no longer our own. We're bought with a price. And if we'll give of our person, say, God, here I am. I'm giving you everything that has to do with me. Don't you think He'll honor that?